Thank you for coming. We're going to go to a 5 o'clock as scheduled. We got a little bit of a late start, but we have to keep to our schedule. So 25 minutes. Concentrated Krishna Leela and Jagavendra Prabhu will be helping with the reading. So we're beginning now in the middle of. I'll give a little bit of a summary. As you know, Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka. So one day, the messenger came to Dwarka. And the messenger had a letter. And he asked that he could read the letter to Krishna. And Krishna said yes. Krishna was sitting in his assembly room with all of his ministers and his commander of his army and all the different. So the letter, we should read that letter. It's too good. Okay. So here's, can you read the letter?
Yes.
I am the only Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. No man can compete with me.
Yeah, you can tell.
So the messenger reached the royal assembly of Krishna in Dwarka and conveyed the message given by his master, Palandraka. The message contained the following statements. I am the only Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. No man can compete with me. I have descended as King Palandraka, taking compassion on the distressed, conditioned souls out of my unlimited, causeless mercy. You have falsely taken the position of Vasudeva without authority, but you should not propagate this false idea. You must give up your position. O descendant of the Yadu dynasty, please give up all the symbols of Vasudeva which you have falsely assumed. And after giving up this position, come and surrender unto me. If, out of your gross impudence, you do not care for my words, then I challenge you to fight. I am inviting you to a battle in which the decision will be settled.
So that's the letter, the message that Palandraka sent to Krishna. So Krishna, the other members that were there, they laughed when they heard it for a considerable time, it says. And Krishna enjoyed that they were laughing. And then Krishna, he sent a message back. He said,
I directly call you.
Yes. Okay. So this is Krishna's. He said, you may give this message to your master.
Reading the whole next paragraph?
Yeah. Okay.
When all the members of the royal assembly, including King Ugrasen, heard this message sent by Palandraka, they laughed very loudly for a considerable time. After enjoying the loud laughter of all the members of the assembly, Krishna replied to the messenger as follows. O messenger of Palandraka, you may carry my message to your master.
You are
a foolish rascal. I directly call you a rascal, and I refuse to follow your instructions. I shall never give up this symbol for Vasudeva, especially my disc. I shall use this disc not only to kill not only you, but all your followers also. I shall destroy you and your foolish associates, who merely constitute a society of cheaters and the cheated. O foolish king, you will then have to conceal your face in disgrace, and when your head is severed from your body by my disc, it will be surrounded by meat-eating birds like vultures, hawks, and eagles. At that time, instead of becoming my shelter, as you have demanded, you will be subject to the mercy of those low-born birds. At that time, your body will be thrown to the dogs, who will eat it with great pleasure.
So, Krishna sent that message back to Palandraka. And it says that the messenger took the message back and Palandraka patiently listened to the letter. You can just see Palandraka sitting there listening. Krishna's calling him a rascal and all these things. And then Krishna got in his chariot and he went off to the city. Actually, Bhadraka was living with his friend the king of Kashi. So they were staying together. So when Krishna came, Bhadraka was also a great warrior. He wasn't just a talker. He really was a great Kshatriya. He had gone a little too far. He thought this is what happens when someone becomes he's endowed with a lot of strength or a lot of wealth. He sometimes goes too far and thinks that he's become greater than everyone, including God. It's like our modern scientists these days. They have some intelligence and they have some ability. And they have discovered some things. But they've gone too far now and they're saying they're giving us now the age of the universe. Now how can they tell what the age of the universe is? None of them were there. So it's just speculation. Or they're saying how life is just a combination of matter. Well, how can they say life is a combination of matter if they cannot produce life? I mean, they don't understand what life really is. So, the point is, Bhadraka was like that also. He was very powerful, but he thought now, because he was surrounded by foolish friends, and his foolish friends kept telling him that he was God. It's like there's another one. I don't want to mention his name. But he's living today, and he actually claims that he's God. And, he has thousands of followers who believe that he's God, including some government ministers and leaders. And he even goes so far as he dresses up like Krishna. I actually saw a picture of him with crown, peacock feather on the crown, and he's holding a flute. And he's posing. He said he was Krishna. But if you saw his face, you could be sure that he wasn't Krishna. Looks like a Rakshasa. So, even today there are people, and he's not the only one, there are many who claim that they are God, that they are Krishna. There was one who used to say, I was Rama, I was Krishna, and now, here I am, incarnation again. So, the problem is that foolish people, they accept it. They actually accept that this person is God. And if you ask, well, what did he do to prove that he was God? Like, for example, the famous one now. If you ask him, what makes you think he's God? Well, he produces some gold. Sometimes he'll make some gold, right, some ring or some watch appear. So, if producing gold is the qualification for being God, then why not find out that person that produced the huge gold mines with thousands and tons of gold? Why just a little bit of gold? Let's find bigger gods. He may be little gods, so we want to find the bigger God. And he claims to be God, but sometimes they also get arrested. We never see Krishna getting arrested or anything. So this Bhadraka story is not just a story that happened 5,000 years ago. And it's kind of an interesting story. It is an interesting story, but it also applies to today because right now, there are many who claim that they are God. And there are many thousands and thousands of people who accept these people as God. Now we're going to find out what happens to those who claim that they are God and who challenge Krishna. Okay, so now we're ready for the bell.
Carry the words.
Yeah, we got that.
He was up with a great warrior.
Now we're ready. You can start with the soldiers.
The soldiers on the side of King Kalmaraka began to shower their weapons upon Krishna. The weapons, including various kinds of tridents, clubs, poles, lances, swords, daggers, and arrows, came flying in waves, and Krishna counteracted them. He smashed not only the weapons, but also the soldiers and the assistants of Kalmaraka, just as during the dissolution of this universe, the fire of devastation burns everything to ashes. The elephants, chariots, horses, and infantry belonging to the opposite party were scattered by the weapons of Krishna. Indeed, the whole battlefield became strewn with smashed chariots and the bodies of men and animals. There were fallen horses, elephants, men, asses, and camels. Although the devastated battlefield appeared like the dancing place of Lord Shiva at the time of the dissolution of the world, the warriors on the side of Krishna were very much encouraged by seeing this, and they fought with greater strength.
So, there is no greater fighter than Krishna. Krishna is the greatest fighter. He's also, at the same time, the greatest lover. There's no greater lover than Krishna. When Krishna wants to exhibit his loving pastime, he can do so with thousands and thousands of young women and satisfy all of them. No one else can do that. If anyone else tries to play on his flute, first of all, who can even play a flute? Even if they can play a flute nicely, they may play the flute, but there may not be any response. None of the young ladies may come out. But when Krishna played his flute, the flute, Vaina Gita, the song of the flute, it captivated the minds of all the beautiful young gopis, and they all ran out. And some of them were married, and some of them had children, some of them had duties, and left everything to go and dance with Krishna. And Krishna danced with them, but no one could chastise him. So who could do that? No one can compare to Krishna in fighting, or in loving affairs, or in knowledge. That Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is probably the most famous book on our planet, spoken 5,000 years, only 700 verses, but it's so famous because it has all the knowledge. It is a complete summary of all the Vedic knowledge. Bhagavad Gita. Song of Krishna. No one could be more intelligent than Krishna or wealthy. His place, Dwarka, was built in the sea, and there were 16,108 palaces made of jewels and ivory and marble and gold. Even now, you find a very wealthy country, they cannot even make one palace like that. But to speak of 16,000 palaces, and there were many other buildings too, and they were all burned out. So Krishna is the greatest in wealth also, and strength. And now we're going to see his strength in fighting. Okay. At this time.
At this time, Lord Krishna told Kalmaraka, "Kalmaraka, you requested me to give up the symbols of Lord Vishnu, specifically my disc. Now, I will give it up to you. Be careful. You falsely declare yourself Vasudev, imitating me. Therefore, no one is a greater fool than you." From this statement of Krishna's, it is clear that any rascal who advertises himself as God is the greatest fool in human society.
This is a very good point. Because sometimes these people who are followers of, like, the present-day so-called incarnation of God, they say, well, even if he's not God, perhaps he's not God, but he's still doing so much good for the people. Have you heard this? They say that. He's still helping, he's healing people, and he's giving donations to the United Way, or some Red Cross, or he's opening schools, or he's feeding people. So they say, even if he's not God, but he's doing so much good, some people are having anxiety, helping them with anxiety. But Prabhupada says here, what does he say?
There's no anyone who
from this statement of Krishna's, it is clear that any rascal who advertises himself as God is the greatest fool in human society.
Yeah. So,
greatest fool and the greatest rascal, anyone who claims to be God. You know, there's a story when Prabhupada went to Glasgow, Scotland, for a program. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was. He helped organize that program. So they had filled, it was Woodside Hall on the station. They rented a big hall. There was about 1,000 people there. It's full of them. And if you've been to Glasgow, you know, Glasgow people are, well, I mean, not all of them, but I mean, it's quite a, they're very, described as Glaswegians. Working class. It's a working class city. And so anyway, Prabhupada gave this wonderful lecture and they were having kirtan. And after the lecture, he asked if there were any questions. So there was one man at the back, at the way back of the hall. He raised his hand. Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, I am God. Prabhupada said, could you come a bit closer? And the man walked about halfway up. Prabhupada said, could you say it again? He said, I am God. He said, could you come a little closer? So he came closer. Again, I am God. Prabhupada said, could you come a bit closer? So he came all the way up to the front. Prabhupada said, now could you say it again?
He said, hey.
He said, I am God. And Prabhupada said, you are not God, G-O-D. You are dog, D-O-G. And everyone in the audience stood up and started cheering. And Prabhupada started to cheer talk. And everyone was dancing and singing. The man just walked right out of the building. He was defeated. Like your time, powerful. So, anyone who claims to be God is not God, G-O-D. He's dog, D-O-G. And actually now it's been proven, the so-called God I was talking about before, now there's many cases against him for unmentionable things. So, but we shouldn't be surprised. Prabhupada already told us anyone who claims to be God is the worst, the lowest. So don't think there's any good qualities in such a person.
What did you do?
Yes. The greatest fool in human society. Krishna continued. Now, Pandraka, I shall force you to give up this false representation. You wanted me to surrender unto you. Now this is your opportunity. We shall now fight, and if I am defeated and you are victorious, I shall certainly surrender unto you. In this way, after chastising Pandraka very severely, Krishna smashed Pandraka's chariot to pieces by shooting an arrow.
So this,
you can see,
even when Krishna was entertaining this fool. First of all, Krishna knew that he couldn't be defeated. But still, out of his wonderful personality, he said, all right, well, perhaps you will win. And if you win, then I'll surrender to you. Krishna is very renounced also. One of his qualities is Vairagya. So he said, all right, if you win, I'll surrender to you. This, see, this is the Lord that we're serving. He's got a wonderful sense of humor also. He's very humorous. He doesn't just have one side.
He's not.
God is not just powerful, and he's not just giving orders all the time. He's also very humorous, and he likes to play jokes, and he likes to have a good time. And so now he's having a good time with Pongraka. But if you are victorious, now we're going to fight. Here we are, now we're ready to fight. And if you're victorious, I'll surrender to you.
Gopinath, pay attention.
In this way, after chastising Pongraka very severely, Krishna smashed Pongraka's chariot to pieces by shooting an arrow. Then with the help of his disc, he separated Pongraka's head from his body, just as Indra shaves off the peaks of mountains by striking them with his thunderbolts. Similarly, Krishna also killed the king of Kashi with his arrows. Lord Krishna specifically arranged to throw the head of the king of Kashi into the city of Kashi itself so that his relatives and family members could see it. Krishna did this just as a hurricane carries a lotus petal here and there. Lord Krishna killed Pongraka and his friend Kashiraj on the battlefield, and then he returned to his capital city, Dwarka. When Lord Krishna returned to the city of Dwarka, all the siddhas from the heavenly planets were singing his glories. As far as Pongraka was concerned, somehow or other he always thought of Lord Vasudeva by falsely dressing himself in imitation of the Lord. Therefore, Pongraka achieved Sarupya, one of the five kinds of liberation, and was thus promoted to the Vaikuntha planets, where the devotees have the same bodily features of Vishnu, with four hands holding the four symbols.
So, we know.
Pongraka, he was so convinced that he was Vishnu that he even attached two other arms to his shoulders, because he only had two arms and Vishnu has four. So he thought, well, I'm Vishnu, I have to have four, so I need two more. And we may think this is silly. How do you think he's Vishnu if he doesn't have four arms? But how could someone think he's a god now also? How could this man, who has no qualifications for being God, no beauty, no knowledge, no strength, no fame, but still he thinks he's God? So this is the position of Maya. Material energy can make someone so bewildered that he actually thinks that he's the supreme. Hiranyakashipu also thought he was supreme. He thought he could defeat Vishnu. But this is the nature of the demon. Now this Pongraka, so he would walk around with four arms. Two of them were his real arms, and two of them were the other arms, to make people think that he was Vishnu. You know, well, because Vishnu has four arms, and people know he has four arms. It's no more silly than producing some magic little trick, making some gold appear, and telling people that I'm God because I can do this trick. It's not more silly than that. Now, the thing is, because he dressed up like Vishnu, and he died being killed by Krishna, Krishna is going to award him, or did award him, Sarupya Mukti. Sarupya Mukti means to get the same form as Vishnu. So he actually went back to Vaikuntha. He got a four-handed form in Vaikuntha. That's what he wanted. He was wearing his four arms. But then, because he was killed by Krishna, he got to go back to Vaikuntha. That shows how Krishna is kind. Even when he kills a demon who wanted to kill him and who criticized him, imitated him, still Krishna is so merciful. he gave him that type of liberation. Continue.
Factually, his meditation was concentrated on the Vishnu form, but because he thought himself Lord Vishnu, it was offensive. By his being killed by Krishna, however, that offense was mitigated. Thus, he was given Sarupya liberation, and he attained the same form as the Lord. When the head of the king of Kashi was thrown through the city gate, people were gathered and were astonished to see that wonderful thing. When they found out that there were earrings on it, they could understand that it was someone's head. They conjectured as to whose head it might be. Some thought it was Krishna's head because Krishna was the enemy of Kashiraj, and they calculated that the king of Kashi might have thrown Krishna's head into the city so that the people might take pleasure in the enemies having been killed. But they finally detected that the head was not Krishna's, but that of Kashiraj himself.
This is Krishna's spirit of Kshatriya. He has all different sides. And when it comes to being a Kshatriya, Krishna can play the part perfectly. Just as when he was a coward boy, he was completely satisfied taking care of the calves and the cows every day. And when he plays the part of a Kshatriya, he does it perfectly. When he plays the part of someone's son, like Yashoda and Nanda, he plays the most beloved son. But this is Krishna. He reciprocates perfectly. He plays his part. Actually, he is controlling everything. But still, he enjoys having pastimes, and he gives the living entities free will so that they can express their own individuality in relationship with Krishna. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Shri Krishna Lila Ki Jai.